According to Wikipedia, Thanksgiving Day is a holiday celebrated primarily in the United States and Canada. Thanksgiving is celebrated each year on the fourth Thursday of November in the United States and on the second Monday of October in Canada. None of us care about that. There's no Canadians here, right? Because of the long-standing traditions of the holiday, the celebration often extends to the weekend that falls closest to the day it is celebrated. Historically, Thanksgiving has roots in religious and cultural tradition. Today, Thanksgiving is primarily celebrated as a secular holiday, which is just the way of saying that it is celebrated without any reference to God. Secular holiday is really an oxymoron. You all know what an oxymoron is, right? That's when you put two words together that are like opposites that don't make sense, right? Like plastic silverware, right? Paper towel, working vacation, crash landing, freezer burn, larger half, soft rock, steel wool, unbiased opinion, and of course we can add to that list secular holiday. The etymology of the word holiday simply derived from the notion of holy day. Originally, the word only referred to special religious days. That's why it was holy. It was a day set aside by God. Now, in modern usage, it means any special day of celebration, whether religious or secular. So, for example, the 4th of July is a holiday. It's not a religious holiday. It's a cultural holiday. It's okay to celebrate it, but it's not technically a religious holiday. So now, just to qualify our terms, we have to talk about religious holidays. That should be redundant, but we have to make things clear. Thanksgiving is historically and theologically a religious holiday. And I reminded you about a little bit of the history of Thanksgiving because it's good to keep that in mind before us, what it was all about, the pilgrims gathering together to have a meal to thank God for his goodness to them. Unfortunately, many in school, because God is being left out of the picture or is being pushed out of the picture, sometimes think that the pilgrims thank the Indians for their blessings. They were thankful to some of the Indians who helped them, but they were gathering together to thank God Almighty for his goodness to them. I hope none of you have used this expression. If you have, when you come to church this Sunday, you can ask God for forgiveness. But instead of talking about Thanksgiving, perhaps you've had people say this to you. I've had people say this to me. Have a great turkey day. Yes, I will have turkey. Yes, I will watch football. Nothing wrong with turkey. Nothing wrong with football. But let's be clear. It is a day set aside for thanksgiving to God for the great benefits that we have. You know, it's interesting. I was working at Trinity a couple years ago, and there was this guy that I was having all kinds of theological conversations with, and we were talking about Calvinism and Arminianism, and somehow during Thanksgiving, it came up that we were having a service, and he said, "Oh, you're having a Thanksgiving service." And I said, "Yes." And his comment was, "Oh, is that a Calvinist tradition?" And I said, "No, it's not a Calvinist tradition. It's an American tradition." If I had been thinking correct quickly, I should have said something like, "Well, don't Arminians thank God?" I would have just said that half joking, okay? Okay, but he thought it was a Calvinist tradition. No, it's not a Calvinist tradition. It's an American tradition. And as I said earlier, it goes all the way back to that very first Thanksgiving. 3 years later, Governor Bradford of Massachusetts made the first Thanksgiving proclamation, and this is what he said, and I like this. He said, "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623. The third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all his blessings. William Bradford, ye governor of ye colony." I like that. Gather together to listen to your pastor and to render thanks to God. Now, to help us properly celebrate Thanksgiving, I want to reflect just briefly on grace and gratitude and how the two are necessarily connected. R.C. Sproul made the comment that the essence of theology is grace and the essence of Christian ethics is gratitude. I like that. The essence of theology is grace. The essence of ethics is gratitude. So let's consider the first part. The essence of theology is grace. We could take that a step further. I would like to take that a step further and say that the essence of life is grace. Everything that we have is grace. Theologians often distinguish between common grace and special grace. I'll talk about common grace now, and then a little later we'll talk about special grace. But common grace refers to every gift that we are given. The gift of life is due to God's grace. Your ability to work is due to God's grace. The blessing of your spouse, your children, your parents is because of God's grace. All the material blessings that you have are because of God's grace. The nice clothes you have on this evening, the car that you came in, the home that you came from, the home that you will go to, are all because of God's common grace. And the reason why it's common is because it's shared by everybody. Everybody who has ever lived has been a recipient of God's common grace, which explains the gifts that they have. That's why we read a little earlier, right? Every gift is from God. Every gift that anybody has ever received, they may not recognize it as coming from God, but it has indeed come from God. What is grace? Theologians often simply define it as unmerited favor. Stated another way, all these blessings in your life come from God, and he gives them to you as a gift, not because you've earned them and not because you deserve them. They are a gracious gift from God, which is why as Christians, we can say, can we not, Carol, when people ask us how we're doing? Better than we deserve. And if you understand grace, you can say that seriously. And you can say that with great meaning. Grace naturally, or I should say, should naturally lead to gratitude. If we get our doctrine of grace correct, we will get our doctrine of Christian ethics correct. And remember Sproul's statement, the essence of Christian ethics is gratitude. If you understand that everything that's been given to you is because of God's grace, the natural response to that should be gratitude or simply thank you. right? Thank you. Christmas is coming up. Some of us have little kids. They'll be opening gifts from, you know, grandma or, you know, an aunt or an uncle or whatever. And this is what all of us parents will be doing. I know what you'll be doing. They will be opening that gift and you will be waiting for that son or daughter to say, thank you. That's right. You're waiting for that thank you. They gave you that gift as a grace gift. You weren't entitled to that gift. You didn't deserve that gift. They gave it to you graciously, generously. And because of that, you should respond with gratitude by simply saying thank you. Now, let's consider a little thought experiment just for fun. When a culture becomes increasingly secular because it turns away from God, what happens to the concepts of grace? It disappears. And if grace disappears, what happens to gratitude? I submit to you that it also disappears. Now, here's another question I have for you. I think this is an important question. What will replace gratitude? Or we could ask it this way. What is the opposite of gratitude? Anybody want to offer a guess just for fun?
Jealousy.
What's that? Entitlement. Jealousy. Those are all good. Those are all correct. Just to keep it simple, grumbling. Okay. Greed is another one. Grumbling. Yeah, you're either going to be a grateful person or a grumbler. Think about that. You're either going to be a grateful, thankful person or you're going to be a grumbler because you're not treated better than you are and which you are entitled to. I was reading an article this last week and John Bloom described grumbling as the accent of hell and gratitude as the accent of heaven. I thought, that's good. That's true. I think if we could hear what's happening in heaven, you would hear grumbling, complaining, murmuring. And of course, heaven will be a place where we will be filled with gratitude. Just for the fact that God let us in, if nothing else, we will be thankful. I think for the first 1,000 years, we'll just be saying, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for letting me into the doors of heaven. And then after we're thanking God for that for 1,000 years, we'll move on and we'll thank him for so many other blessings. A chilling scene took place on The Simpsons years ago. Bart Simpson was called upon to pray for a meal, to which he promptly responded, "Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing." That is blasphemous. That is scary. And although people may not say that out loud at a meal, let's hope, nevertheless, that can be the mindset that people have. I have nothing to be thankful for. I've done this all myself. Not recognizing that if we have accomplished anything, we have accomplished what we've accomplished with the gifts and abilities that God has given us. This gratitude is very important. And as we look at our culture, perhaps this is one of the top reasons why we're not doing well as a culture. We are not saying thank you to God. And I really mean that. God takes thankfulness seriously. I could point to many passages. We could talk about Romans 1, which is a good one, but let me give you a sobering one from Deuteronomy 28. This is 45 through 48. Moses is warning the people, if they live as God's calling them to live, on the one hand, they'll be blessed. If they turn away from his commands, if they don't live as he's calling them to live, they could be cursed. And in Deuteronomy 28, 45 and following, we read, "All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. They shall be a sign and a wonder against you and your offspring forever." And then notice this, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, because of the abundance of all things. That's important. God is telling you, Israel, I have given you all these things. I have given you all these blessings. We are the wealthiest nation that has ever lived. We are, all of us, filthy rich. I don't care how much you think you're struggling with your finances. We are rich. We are blessed. And because of the abundance of all the things that we enjoy, God is saying, because of that, you should be serving me with joyfulness and gladness of heart. And if that doesn't happen, God says, therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord your God will send against you in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and lacking everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Why? Because of ingratitude for all the blessings that God gave to his people. So how can we avoid this great crime, this treason against God? The answer is very simple. Come into God's presence and say thank you. Come before God and say thank you. When you are sitting at the table tomorrow or some other day, or maybe more than one day, and you notice that the table is bowing in the middle because it's weighed down with the turkey and the mashed potatoes and gravy and everything else that is on the table, make sure you thank God for all those blessings. Maybe when you go home, maybe here's a little, I'll give you a homework assignment. I haven't given you homework for a while. Before you get up tomorrow morning, in all seriousness, before you get out of bed, if you can remember, just lay there and just count your blessings one by one, as the old saying goes. You know that, right? Count your blessings. And I really mean it. Just go through a list. Just count your blessings. If you can already smell the food in the kitchen, thank God for the food in the kitchen. Thank God for the people in the kitchen making it. Thank God that you had a bed that you could sleep on that night. Thank God that you had a roof over your head. Thank God that you have your health and you're able to get out of bed. Not everybody is. And just go through all these blessings. You can think about relational blessings, material blessings, and then, of course, spiritual blessings. And even think of one year I did this. I almost did it this year. I didn't do it. But one year I gave the congregation an exercise. And I gave them a little sheet. And just one by one, we went through material blessings. I forget the exact order. Material blessings, relational blessings, spiritual blessings. And then it was interesting. At the last moment, I came up with another category. And I called it hidden blessings. And hidden blessings was those difficulties that God brought into your life, and then you look back and you're like, Lord, thank you for that trial. Thank you for that adversity, because you used that in my life in a great way. And if it wasn't for that tragedy, I wouldn't be where I was today. And it was fascinating because I can still remember people commenting on the hidden blessings of their life. They didn't seem like blessings at first. They seemed like curses. They seemed like trials. But then in hindsight, they were able to look back and see that God had a good purpose for them. So maybe there's even some hidden blessings that you will thank God for. But just go through the list. Thank God for all your blessings. And if you are a Christian, we should be doubly thankful, because not only do we have the common blessings that are a result of common grace, but we have been the recipients of God's special grace, which is to say his saving grace. And if God has opened your eyes so that you can see clearly that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you've turned to Jesus Christ for salvation, and you have salvation if you've been forgiven, if you've been adopted into God's family, if the hope of eternal life is yours, then you should be oozing gratitude. If God does nothing else for you than save you from your sin, that alone is sufficient reason for you to be thankful today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. Let's close in prayer. Father, what a joy it is to gather together this evening and thank you. And even right now, we want to say thank you. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the building. I thank you for those who serve, who help even this evening. Father, thank you for all our material blessings. For most of us, our closets are full of clothes. Our refrigerators and freezers are full. Thank you for all those blessings. Father, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my children, family, friends. Father, I thank you for the brothers and sisters in this congregation who encourage me in so many ways they don't even realize. Father, we most of all thank you for your indescribable gift, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. Thank you that you loved us and sent Christ into the world so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.